Whenever I am about to register on a new website, what immediately pops up is this terms of service agreement. And my eyes just want to glaze over. Instead of viewing it as the legally binding document that it is, what I see is just a final nuisance standing between me and the latest version of iTunes. So without reading, what do? I click agree and move on. Some would call ignoring a terms of service agreement lazy, but it's also practical. A 2008 study by Carnegie Mellon professors found that the average internet user encounters almost 1,500 privacy policies a year, each about 2,500 words in length. None of us is going to wade through that amount of legalese anytime soon. That's why the website Terms of Service Didn't Read is a user rights initiative to rate and label website terms and policies from very good to very bad. Folks, the large print giveth, the small print taketh away. Why should you always read the small or fine print? Because the devil is in the details. We are always told to read the fine print before signing a contract. We want no surprises. We want to make sure that all the parties of the contract receive their agreed share. And as much as possible, we want to be assured that the cost of whatever we are signing, whether in money, time, or work, is worth every ounce of ourselves we put into fulfilling the contract. So interesting that the great crowds following Jesus in the gospel today didn't know the fine print yet. Jesus bluntly challenges the crowd to take up the demands of discipleship with eyes wide open. He clearly spells out the fine print in large, large letters. Disciples must put Jesus ahead of their families and even their own lives, carry their cross, and renounce all they have. Who wants to agree to that? Discipleship is total and unconditional. And by the time Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, is tried and condemned, is nailed to the cross, the crowd had drifted away and diminished greatly. Few were left. Most of his disciples abandoned him. The people turned on him. Fine print can be costly. Large print giveth, and the fine print taketh away. Jesus intends no surprises for those who choose discipleship. And here's the fine print. We have to die if we wish to follow Jesus. Life decisions require calculated thought. We calculate the gains and losses of selling our home. We calculate the positive and negatives of accepting a new job. We calculate the strengths and weaknesses of each candidate when voting. Well, did the great crowds following Jesus have any inkling of the cost? So we might want to ask ourselves, what cost am I willing to pay to be a faithful follower of Jesus? Recall a time in your life when you placed your family or your own self ahead of the demands Jesus makes on us. We must view renouncing our family responsibilities as a reordering of our values and priorities so that Jesus is our first love before family and self. We choose discipleship when we take the necessary steps to forgive someone who has seriously hurt us, when we stay the course of living with less so those with little can have what they need. Faced with calculating the cost of discipleship, do we then choose to be Jesus' faithful companions on the journey, or do we choose to become drifters? And we become drifters when we face the path of least resistance of an unjust situation. When we insist on our own way, despite the needs of others in our family or workplace or community. This weekend, as I mentioned at the beginning of the liturgy, in Vatican City, Pope Francis will canonize Mother Teresa of Calcutta. If there was ever a woman of our time that knew the cost of discipleship and read the terms of agreement, it was she. When she was criticized for not using her considerable influence to attack systemic evils such as the arms race or organized exploitation and injustice, she simply responded that that was not her mission. She said in an interview in 1982, "Once you're involved in politics, you stop being all things to all men. We must encourage the lay people to stand for justice, for truth in the political arena." This saint of the gutters struggled with spiritual darkness in her journey with the Lord. And she kept her struggle private for the last 50 years of her life. Why? Because she felt a public admission of her struggle would direct focus on herself rather than on Jesus. In 1959, she wrote this to a confessor. "In my soul, I feel just that terrible pain of loss, of God not wanting me, of God not being God, of God not really existing." She went on to write, "I have come to love the darkness, for I believe now that it is a part, a very, very small part of Jesus' darkness and pain on earth." Her life reminds us that holiness, discipleship, is a goal for all believers, even those given to doubt. Her letters remind us that dryness, darkness, and doubt are natural parts of the spiritual life, whether for the ordinary believer like you and me, or for an extraordinary saint. So if you have doubts that you can pay the cost hidden in the fine print, ask Saint Teresa of Calcutta, a saint for skeptics, to be your intercessor. Like Mother Teresa, the challenge is not just to look at the cost, but to keep our eyes on Jesus, who is walking ahead of us, showing us the way. In Jesus, death leads to new life. This is the promise, and it is worth the cost. The cost of discipleship is this choice: to be Jesus' companions or to be drifters.